Now, the encouragement is not to say, I'm going to stay weak. The encouragement is that God does not turn His back where there is a glimmer of faith. He never gives up on faith. And the thing we need to take from it is, His mercies are new every morning. And no matter where we might be in the continuum of our growth in faith, we may have gone back 3 steps, gone forward 2, gone back 3, and we feel bad, God always says, I'm right here, just come to me. And He kept doing it to Judah. He kept saying, if they would just listen to me, I could postpone this judgment. They would not hearken. This king had a vestige of faith, but he was a weak and scared man. I picture a man here very thin, very gaunt, very small, very, very shaken and shaky. And he says, I will not put thee to death in verse 16, and I will not give thee into the hands of these men that seek thy life. Therefore, Jeremiah said to him, thus says the Lord God of hosts, verse 17, if you will surely go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, for this city shall be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if you will not go forth into the king of Babylon, this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape his hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid. You might underline that. He's going to say it twice. He says, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans already. He's saying, I believe... the devil had so made this man think that him falling to the Chaldeans would make those in that had already been deported, it would have made them somehow kind of leap on him if he gave himself up. But what he would be doing was simply doing what God said to do all along. The bulk of the people already there were just doing what God said. Many of them had fallen to the Chaldeans, given themselves over because God called it, and they believed God. So it was a lie that he was believing for the most part. And the Bible says, I'm afraid of those people. And he says in verse 19, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. He says, obey, I beseech thee. The power of the devil is in a lie. This man was crippled because he listened to his counselors who probably told him this. If not that, then he was listening in the backstory of his brain, then the devil was whispering in his ear. But the whole dynamic is he was believing a lie. Now he has God's absolute truth. You will not be delivered into their hands, and it will be well unto thee. He says, they won't mock thee. It shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. In verse 20, if you'll just do what God tells you to do. But if you refuse, verse 21... this is the word. You're afraid people are going to mock you? You think those people are bad? He says, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be worse. He says in verse 22, if you don't do it, he says, behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall be the ones mocking you. And they shall say, thy friends have set thee on. You've listened to your friends. You might underline this. This is a perfect verse for peer pressure. Thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in mire, and then they are turned back, or they turned away from you. They got you in a mess, and they walked away. And the women would say it. The women of his own house, that means his wife or wives, and his servant girls. What's worse, to be mocked by men of war, or to be mocked by women? He says, if you don't do what I tell you, it's going to be worse than you can imagine. Verse 23, so they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children unto the Chaldeans. And he says, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Well, verse 24 says, then Zedekiah said unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, thou shalt, and thou shalt not die. Another again, faith, but a weak faith. When you go through the New Testament and you find somebody like Joseph and Nicodemus who didn't tell the other guys in the room that they believed in Jesus, you got to raise your minds up a little bit and look at that in the eye and say, well, what's that all about? You know, they didn't tell anybody. Now, they did beg the body of Jesus, but they were secretly disciples for a season. We are weak. Now, we don't want to be too hard on people. God looks for faith. He wants people to believe Him. This man believed Him. He just didn't have any strength of heart. And he was so bound up in his sin, he couldn't find his footing. And so he gave Jeremiah the words to say that if the princes in verse 25 come to you and say, have you talked to the king? Tell us what he said. Tell us every word he said. He says, then thou shalt say in verse 26, I presented my supplication before the king, and that he would not cause me to return into Jonathan's house to die there. And that's what he had done earlier. Okay, when he said, get me out of here, back in 37. And he said it here. Why am I to die? And so he's kind of giving him something to say because he knows he can't have this prophet compromised. And in verse 27, they came and they did, and he told them the words, and the matter was not perceived at the end of verse 27. And verse 28, so Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Was taken, because it was taken. And it was taken badly. And that's what chapter 39 is all about. And it is in chapter 39 that, listen, Zedekiah gets to be a witness. You wouldn't expect it. And he doesn't explicitly get any credit. We have to read between the lines. But look what happens. It says in verse 1 through 10, basically, that there was a year and about a year and 6 months. It's the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, and the 10th month. Unto the 11th, verse 2, year of Zedekiah in the fourth month. That's about 19 months, if you count it up. About 19 months, the king came back from Babylon after taking on the Pharaoh and all those. And he came back, and for 19 months, he lays siege to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 2, the city was broken up. 19 months, that's a long time. You can't go out and get any deer, you can't go hunting, you can't go getting your animals, you can't get any water. 19 months. He already told them people would die from the famine, from thirst. People would die from pestilence in the city because they couldn't bury the dead as readily and be as clean. The Bible says it was broken up. Verse 3, all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even all the kings of Babylon. They all came in and sat down. Sounds pretty awesome. King of Babylon breaks up the city. He comes in with all of his princes. Bible says in verse 4, and it came to pass, Zedekiah, king of Judah, saw them. He ran. He fled. Now, he's running for his life. What was he told to do? Fall to the king of Babylon. But he fled. Weak faith. Everybody's saying, you got to run, you got to run. Come on. He had no heart. He had no spine. And he ran. The Bible says, by the way of the king's garden. And he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans, verse 5, the army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath. And look at this, where he gave judgment upon him. Now, we remember back in chapter 34, I believe it was, where Jeremiah told him, you will look in the eyes of the king of Babylon and he will look in your eyes. You will talk to him face to face. This is where that's fulfilled. But what we don't get is what he said to him. But you can see what he said to him by what the king does of Babylon. See, it is at this verse where we see Zedekiah becoming a witness. He's done. He's broken, he's beaten, he's bound. He's standing in front of a king that he was told would be there. And what would you say? I think you'd say exactly what this man said. This man, finally, all charades, all games, all toys, all foolishness off. He said, I knew this was going to happen. I've been being told it for 10 years. Who told you? Jeremiah told me. He's the guy, I've heard his name before. He was the one that told those other guys, those other men of war. You can see the king giving judgment. And it is why I believe he was not killed. But he was punished sorely. Because I think, as is the natural bent of true repentance, he told all of his heart. Remember Samson? He finally got worn out by Delilah and he just told her all of his heart. Well, that's what I think we have here with Zedekiah. And he told him that he was going to be bound, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be judged, and he just said, I'm a mess. And the Bible says he gave judgment in verse 5 concerning him or upon him. Well, what was the judgment? The king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He had to watch his own sons die. What does weak faith get us? Ouch. And he slew the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. And he bound him with chains and carried him to Babylon. Humiliation. Verse 8. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house. He burned the whole city. Broke down the walls. Verse 8. Verse 9. Then Nebuzaradan, the king of captain of the guard, carried away all those people to Babylon. In verse 10, then Nebuzaradan left some of the poor to the land and gave them vineyards in the fields at the same time. So this is the judgment that Nebuchadnezzar is saying. You're my captain, do this. Destroy the walls, destroy the city, leave some poor in the land. Verse 11. Then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. Why? Who's he? He's nowhere in the room. Zedekiah just told him about him. And what was the charge he gave? He said, take him and look well to him and do no harm to him. Do even unto him, even as he shall say unto thee. I love that. If you stand and the world falls down and you've walked with God, God will see to your back. He will have your back every time, and he has Jeremiah's back, even though the flood is coming in. The one man who stood for God found favor in the eyes of that king, and that king said, you, whatever you want. And the Bible says in verse 13, so Nebuzaradan did, captain of the guard, sent unto these other captains that he had, and all the kings of the prince, king of Babylon's princes. And he says, and even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah. Now, you may not remember who Gedaliah is, but he was the guy who spared Jeremiah way back in chapter 24. He was at the end of the chapter, and everybody was after his blood. And the princes were saying, this guy needs to die. And somehow Gedaliah got in there, and he got him delivered. One verse saying Gedaliah got him delivered. He evidently had gone over to the king of Babylon earlier, and now he was reinstated as governor. Gedaliah is going to come into play in the next few chapters in the historical unfolding of this. But Gedaliah is a good guy. He's listened to what Jeremiah said. He's honored what Jeremiah is about. And he probably told the king some stuff about him too. And the Bible says in verse 15, now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah when he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. He not only had Jeremiah's back, he had the Ethiopian's back who had Jeremiah's back. And so this guy, the Bible says in verse 18, your life shall be a prey unto thee, because you did good. Even though it was hard, even though it was dangerous, you went into the king in a very, very volatile state, and you said you need to get him out of there. These guys are wrong. Do you know how hard it is to say all the princes who could have your life taken are wrong? The Bible says, I will deliver thee in that day. In verse 17, he says, and I will not let you be given into the hand of the men whom you are afraid of. Was he afraid? Yes. So was Zedekiah. But this man was afraid and he still did right. That is the definition of courage. Not that you're not afraid, but that you do right even though you are afraid. So this man gets honored. And I want you to look into chapter 40 just a little bit, because this is where Nebuzaradan brings Jeremiah out. And this is what he says in verse 2. Then the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord thy God, this is a heathen, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Your God pronounced this evil on this place. He says in verse 3, now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he said, because you have sinned against the Lord. This is the heathen preaching to the believer, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now, behold, I loose thee this day from thy chains. His captains had gone down to Benjamin, got him, brought him to the city in chains. They didn't know what they were going to do with him. He was still in chains. He says, but I loose you from your chains today. And if it seems good to you, come with me into Babylon, come. He says, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill to thee to go to Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whither it seemeth good or convenient for thee to go, thither go. You see, that's why I believe this Zedekiah finally came across the line. He gave a testimony, and the Bible tells us of Zedekiah, though he had such a harsh judgment, chains binding, eyes gouged out, sons killed, that he was cast into dungeons over in Babylon, but later he was raised up out of that Babylonian dungeon and put at the king's table and given a meat portion. Why? Well, because here was a guy that the king of Babylon, having respected Jeremiah, also saw something in King Zedekiah worth honoring. And I think it's because he came clean. Now that's a sanctified imagination. You can take it for what it's worth. But this king gave Jeremiah his legs back. Gave him his freedom back. And what you're going to see in chapters 40 and a couple chapters in is that this Gedaliah guy is going to be having his own problems. But this is all about Zedekiah. Hone back in on verse 18 of chapter 39. Your life shall be a prey to thee. It shall be your prize. It shall be your reward. And that's what God offers you and me. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And you and I get the booty of having a soul. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. We're going to get rid of this mess, and we're going to get to have eternal bliss if we just will believe.